title of this message, if you're taking notes here, will be about a vine of olive tree. It's called Lowly in Heart. As you see, we've got the palms there, and Jesus riding in to Jerusalem, and we're going to be lowly in heart. You can quickly turn, I say quickly because we'll be going all over places, to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Lowly in heart. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. This is about 520 to 518 B.C., 500 years, give or take, before the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ. Right? You've got to remember, the Old Testament was here long before the New was written by the eyewitness account. This is about 520 years before the birth of Jesus. And this is what Zechariah says. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt of the foal of an ass. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word today. We thank you for this Palm Sunday, God. Lord, it says you draw near to the lowly. Prepare our hearts to be lowly this morning, God. Let us humble ourselves at your mighty hand. Let us receive your eternal word, that it may bring forth fruit of repentance in our life. We thank you, God. We glorify you, and we honor you this day. In Jesus' mighty name, and the church said, Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you would now, we will, John, Ian there, so greatly, you did a good job, Ian, by the way, recited the scripture in John, so we will be going to Matthew. I'm glad you did the John scripture, Ian, I'm going to Matthew. We will recite it one more time just to overview it. Matthew 21, verse 1, if you would go there now. Matthew 21, verse 1. And it reads, when they draw nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, and to the Mount of Olives, and then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into a village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. And this was done that it, now listen to this, and this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, which prophet? Zechariah, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt of the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their shoulders, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Just to show you there, Jesus was fulfilling just one more prophecy on the list. There is no group of the wisest men that can write a story that is so cross-referenced with the Old Testament. Jesus knew and fulfilled over 365 prophecies concerning him being the Messiah and everything that he did word for word. Just as Zechariah had prophesied it, he heard the word of the Lord. It wouldn't have made any sense to Zechariah. Kings were meant to be in the royal, caravan. Yeah. They were meant to have hundreds of camels and horses. Kings rode on horses. No king had ever ridden on a donkey. Kings don't ride on donkeys. They're supposed to be royal. But the king God was sending was not the one they were expecting. Right? You might want Jesus to do some high and lofty things for you. But he's just a little bit more humble. He might just be drawing you to the end of yourself, asking you to repent of your sin, telling you that the way of life and the way you need to live your life is to be lowly in heart. Right? Be lowly in heart. We see there, just briefly going back to Zechariah, says that, Behold, the king cometh unto thee, he is just, having salvation, but he is lowly, right? I'm going to focus on the word lowly. Really, it means to be meek and humble before the Lord. To be meek and humble before the Lord. I believe the Lord wants our hearts prepared for Him, but it has to be in meekness and humility. He is trying to drive pride out of our lives. You know the best definition of pride is? This is the best definition. We know one of the major sins is the pride of life. This is the biggest giveaway of pride. No. No. No, Lord. I'm going to do this my way. Here's another. Lord, help me do this my way. No, Lord, I know your way. No, just, I'm going to do it my way. You just bless me my way. Jesus says he's the way. And he's the only way. The biggest thing about pride is it will get you to do it your way. And you believe your way is the best way. I believe my way is the best way. And I'm your master. You know, that's just how we live. We believe the things we think are the best ways. Your husband will believe that his ideas are the best. Your wife will believe that her ideas are the best. We really believe our ideas are the best. But Jesus is always pointing out that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And ultimately, he is the only way of salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You can't even get to God the Father unless you go through him. But it cannot be your own way, your own thoughts, your own plan. It must be his. The Jews had a thought and a way and a plan to receive the Messiah they were expecting. You know what it was? And it says Jesus hid himself because he knew the hearts of men that they would make him a king. So he hid himself. Israel's plan for the Messiah was a plan that's... I gotta stop stepping on these things because I'm not Jesus. was a plan for a different kind of entry. A plan that they also read by the prophets. They just got the timing off. The people of God thought that vengeance and judgment would come at the coming of the Messiah. That he would ride in the east gate on a wonderful horse and execute judgment on all the unbelievers as a glorious, powerful king with a mighty army, just like the prophet said. But they just missed the timing. We that believe know that Jesus humbled himself and wrapped himself in a garment of flesh and became a servant and rode in his triumphal entry on a donkey. The Jews wanted him to lead a mighty army to vanquish Caesar and all the Romans, to kill everybody that had them under occupation. And they could not understand why their Messiah was going to die. Look at the disciples. No, no, Lord. You will never die. He keeps telling them. Hey, guys. About to go to this cross. No, God. You know, Jesus. It's not going to happen. I'll defend you to the death, Lord. Oh, Peter denied him just a couple hours later. But they wanted him to be a king that fought. Instead, what they got was a king that served. When we look at Psalms 138:6, it says, though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. You want to know what it takes to get the respect of the Lord? Reminds me of my kids. They love to be respected. I love to respect them sometimes. Other times I like getting on. But that's what it reminds me of, right? We think, Lord, respect me, hear me. Do this, hear my cry. Deliver me. But he says he knows and respects the lowly, the humble, the meek. Proverbs 3:34. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but giveth grace unto the lowly. Where is your heart at this morning? Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 16:19, better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. And as we move into the New Testament to describe more about what these promises are for us, how our hearts should be before the Lord, it says in Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. There's inheritance for the humble. There's inheritance for the lowly. There's inheritance for the meek. It's called a new heaven and a new earth upon Jesus' triumphant return, right? When he will, we believe, come back and vanquish his enemies. Just not right now. Matthew 18:1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest? And see, this is who his disciples are. It's ingrained in their heart. Who's the best? God. All thinking that it's going to be one of them. I'm the best. Who's the best? Jesus. Jesus called, as I love this morning, a little child unto him, set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So you can't ask that question without pride. It's a prideful question. Who's the greatest? Right? But Jesus says you will be great in the kingdom of heaven if you choose to live a life of humility, lowly in heart and meek. 1 Corinthians 4:20, now moving into the epistles. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will you? Shall I come unto you with a rod? Or in love? And in the spirit of meekness. Right? There is a spirit of meekness. Part of the Spirit of God. Paul's saying, which would you rather have? You want me to just bring in the guns? Judge all of you? Tell you you're all worthy and condemned? Or would you rather I come in love in the spirit of meekness? How do you like to be approached? Because this is the idea. This is your heart approaching God. Some people are very mad at God. And you can have your disagreements, but you can't approach him in pride. It'll never work. Angry with God, brokenhearted by what God allowed. Always want to blame God for whatever he allowed to happen. Whatever he allowed to happen in your life. God allowed it, and you love him, and you're called, then it'll be for your good. You ain't got to worry about it. There's no reason to have a prideful heart with him. And honestly, he is resisting the proud and drawing near to the humble. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, which means there's nothing that can condemn you if you pursue these fruits of the Spirit. The law is sin and death. There is no law for those that pursue these things. Look at the attributes of the lowly heart there. All in there. Long-suffering, peaceful, gentleness, meekness, temperance. That's having a lowly heart. Just as the Lord rode in on the donkey, we must live our lives humble and meek. Galatians 6:1. Oh, sorry, I didn't finish that one. Yeah. There's no law, right? And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Crucified means you've got to put these things to death. Because before that, it went into the lust of the flesh and it gave you the fruit of the Spirit. We're putting to death, we're crucifying all those prideful activities. It doesn't mean we're living perfect, but it means we are approaching God in humility, with lowliness of heart, saying, I want to be what your word says I need to be. Change my heart from these vile, lustful affections unto the fruit of the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you go to church, just go ahead and act like Jesus, right? If we live in the Spirit, go ahead and walk in the Spirit, right? He's associating living and walking there. You can be saved and get on the road, but you ought to start walking up it and go somewhere with God. That's why we see, I've seen, my grandmother got saved. She's known of the Lord, about the Lord, and I've already known the Lord. But we baptized her when she was like 74 or something like that. She got on the road, went to church, did the things her whole life. Never started walking up until she was about 74. That's why you can, it doesn't matter age. Right? Ian just got up here and administered the gospel. If you haven't done that, he just did something you had, and he, you know, he's 16. That's awesome. That's part of, all right, God, I'm on the road, but I'm going to start. He didn't have to do that. We asked him to. That's just one more step up that road, right? It's beginning to walk. It's not going to be perfectly. A little shakiness, nervousness in his voice, but he did great. Right? We've got to encourage each other to begin to walk in the Spirit. If we say we live in the Spirit, let us walk as well. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, the mature in Christ, restore such a one, here's that spirit again, in the spirit of meekness. This will go a long way, husbands, with your wives. Just be meek. Woo! That's a tough one. But it's true. You restore a fault, and also with your children. It'd go a long way with me if I wouldn't get so frustrated. Right? If I could think, live, walk in the Spirit before I acted on the flesh. and restore a fault in the spirit of meekness. It'll go a long way. How do you want somebody talking to you? Same way we need to be talking to the Lord, preparing our hearts for the Lord to tell us some tough things. We can't be heartbroken or mad or angry with God if we want to hear what God wants to do with our lives, which are going to be some tough things that He wants to move around and change to get you from going after the lusts and the affections of the flesh and moving in to partaking in this wonderful fruit of the Spirit that is not natural, it's supernatural. But it takes a humility, a lowliness in the heart to accept those things from God. Considering yourself, right? That's why you do it in meekness. Because if you do it in any other lust of the flesh, you're already fallen into sin. Lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's not the law of sin, that's the law of Christ. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. We talked about that calling last week. If you didn't hear that, go watch it. It's good. You're called. With all lowliness and meekness. You can't be prideful in your calling, thinking you are the hottest thing since, Josiah or whatever. You're not. You're just a worm, right? That's my favorite verse in Isaiah 41. O Jacob, thou worm, I'll help you. I'll deliver you. I love that. That's just like the story of my life. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This all takes lowliness and meekness to love, to have peace, to forbear, to have patience. But this is what God is calling you to do. And it's just a symbol of His life. They were trying to present royalty. They were putting down the branches, what you did for royal caravans. But He came in on a donkey, trying to be an example for how you should live. And He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's God of the universe. He did not decide to come in His first coming. In all of heaven's royalties, He decided to live the life of a servant. Let us follow His example. Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. 1 Timothy 6:11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Those two are at the end, because they're like the hardest to do for me. You know, I feel like the first Christian walk, I thought those first ones really good. But God had to teach me patience and meekness. Got to slow my roll. Got to slow down. Got to listen before I speak. Pray before I deal with situations. Be calm. Be humble. Be meek. 2 Timothy 2:24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. That means create conflict. But be gentle unto all. Men was added, but it's just all. Be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Talked about that we're in 2 Timothy in our Bible study, Tuesday nights. We talked about this. When people are struggling, you should feel bad for them. You should not get angry with them. Because what they're actually doing is opposing themselves. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. When you're going against the Creator by living pridefully, all you're doing is opposing yourself. Which means you're against yourself. There is no way you can receive a blessing from God living pridefully, and so you will receive curses. You're opposing yourself, and therefore against yourself. So it says there, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. This was a big thing we talked about in Bible study. Whose will? Huh? Is that talking about God's will? No, that's talking about the devil's will. Isn't that interesting? Look at that. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. There's two wills going on in your life. All you're doing is choosing which one you're going to follow. You see that? That's how you're predestined. The devil's always mocking God. It's amazing. We got into some really theological things here. I can't spend time on this, but not what my message is about. But this is how you're ordained, right? Predestined. Why is that? Because there's only two wills in your life that are planned out. You better know that the devil has a plan and a will for you to steal, kill, and destroy you and get you chained up with him in the lake of fire. That is all his objective is. That's his will. And then there's the will of God that wants you to repent, believe, and receive eternal life through his Son and live forever and minister to people and bless people and be blessed and get undeserved favor and grace and mercy. And that's his will. Which one are you going to choose? Because you're predestined. Right? Because we were getting into how Calvinism works and our disagreements and how can we be predestined. Well, that's it right there. Because the devil has had a will for your life since the moment you were born. And as a child of disobedience, you are captive at his will. Anytime he wants, if you don't have the Lord. But as a child of God, you submit humbly, with meekness, to God's will for your life. And you can be predestined by his will. See, because even here it says peradventure, right? Peradventure, if God peradventure will give them repentance. Any moment that prideful person wants to humble themselves and come to the Lord, peradventure he will give them repentance. They are predestined. But they always have choice. That's why. You're just either going to be predestined and choose hell, or predestined and choose eternal life. I'll make a lot of people online upset, I reckon, but it'll be all right. Let's just go. We've got a long one here. Two wills working in your life. Which one will you humbly submit to? James 3:13, who is a wise man and endured with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Oh, it's wise to be meek. What do you know? It's wise. James 4:6, but he giveth more grace. But he giveth more grace. Before it said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. I love this one. It was one of my devotions last week in Daily Bread Devotionals. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Make him number one. Holy. Nothing like anything else. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Two more passages here. 1 Peter 5. The elders, this is good here because we have elders and youth. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and witness, right? We're talking about the eyewitness account. Witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Take the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know, I have to play some music there. And we get to our last passage here. A wonderful, wonderful passage. Jesus rode in on a donkey, humbled himself, knowing that the same people crying, Hosanna, Hosanna to the highest. You are the King of the Jews. Here's how we're going to show you. We're going to put branches down at your feet. Same exact people. We're in a different crowd a week later crying, crucify him. Crucify him. Don't be double-minded today. You're either crying out King in humility, or you're denying Christ in your life. Matthew 11:25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me, Father, unto my Father, No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Living properly will always be a burden, and I, Jesus, will always give you change. In any aspect, you might say, well, I believe, but the fruit of your life shows that you are still chained up with all these things that don't line up with the fruit of the Spirit. Humble yourself today. I believe God's mighty hand is here. It says He'll save you. But lay it before the Lord today. Altars are open. You can turn that up a little bit. Jesus. Humble yourself today before the mighty hand of the Lord. And He'll lift you up in good time. Jesus. People still coming to the altar. That means you still got time. Don't leave it here. If you see God drawing people, that means He's here. You don't have to feel it. I barely feel anything. But God has moved to my life so much. I know He's here and He's drawing men's hearts. What He wants to help you with. We all need heaven. yourself. Thank you for coming to Sunday service. Please do remember to join our other services and get involved and bring some candy for our kids next week if you could. And also,